technology's let me down. It's going to have to start from scratch. We'll go. We'll go. It is now. We'll go with where we are. We'll be in the moment. Be here now. Around
us. One of the thoughts that I have had about the incredible press and publicity of MDMA and psychedelics and the mainstream state media is that it's helping to present the illusion to the so-called free world that America is a free society. Look, we even permit psychedelic drug research. You know, how can you...
You look at the medical marijuana, the way they block it and the system they have in place to actually on the surface let it seem like there's progress, but in reality... There's just, you know, a maze of...
More people going to prison, you know, the whole war on drugs that was declared by Nixon in 1971, right, with the Controlled Substance Act, following Leary. You know, if you read the... If you listen to and read those transcripts of Nixon's rationale for the drug war...
Oh, I haven't heard those. What are they?
Well, you can find this in books like Smoke and Mirrors and another one by Dan Baum, but... You know, Nixon, the way the history goes, just sketch it out briefly. Leary is busted for pot the first time. Excuse me. And then shows, practically at the Supreme Court, that the laws against marijuana are unconstitutional. Wins.
Really?
And it's this radical thing, big, big thing. And then he announces he's going to run for governor of California.
Brilliant move.
And then he's immediately set up and busted again under a slightly different in California. And Nixon at this time is trying to come up with reasons to stiffen the penalties for marijuana. First he appoints a commission of the top scientists and says, I need some reasons to make marijuana illegal. And they come to him and they say, after a few months of exploring it, they say, sorry, Mr. President, we've looked at this and there's no reason to make it illegal. And he feels betrayed by this commission. So he appoints,
science has let him down.
So he appoints another one.
Yeah.
And they come back with the same thing. And so now enter these transcripts of these tapes of Nixon, drunken Nixon, ranting and raving in the White House at night with Haldeman about saying things like, why are all these fucking psychiatrists Jewish? They're all these Jewish fags intent on bringing down civilization. He said, we have to find a way to make marijuana illegal because it is the flag of these anti-war activists like Leary, and we have to put them all in jail. And that's part of the main like emotional motivation for Nixon being able to whip Congress into a frenzy and passing this Controlled Substance Act, which is the structure of the drug war.
Which says there's no medicinal value to these substances, which is Schedule 1, like LSD.
Even though there had at this point already been decades of research showing like the stuff on alcoholism.
So isn't that unconstitutional or somehow illegal?
Unconstitutional and illegal and authoritarian, but no, everybody just kind of acquiesced. And
so just to give context, what you're saying is, I guess sort of what we know is that the mainstream culture led by the American, you know, rollout over the world's interaction with psychoactive substances has an agenda. It's protecting its own self-interest for keeping its population or its slave race on a certain level of consciousness, and then as it rolls out through the institutions like the scientific institutions, there's already a set template and already an agenda in place. And then researchers into the psychedelic experience, you were saying earlier, need to have some type of autonomy and strength of conviction to actually tell the truth in the name of scientific inquiry, even if that falls outside of the dogma of the set day government response.
I think that's what I'm saying. And that...
Do you see that happening now, then?
Well, you know, I don't. I just listened to this one talk by Stephen Beyer, and then listening to this guy do these, you know, really boring, double-blind, clinical kind of things. And the really important issues about psychedelics, to my way of thinking, you know, and I'm out on the edge, had to do with, like, what I call ontological questions. And
so your background's less scientific anyway, isn't it? It's more...
It's scientific in a different way, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a scholar of religion and psychology.
That's what I mean. For me, the MAPS stream that they're pursuing is completely medicinal, which is a reductionist way of the overall religious, spiritual aspects of entheogenics, psychedelics. It's just taking the physicality without perhaps they're trying to creature.
Not only physicality. I mean, I think Rick is doing good things, but I'm afraid his, you know, the rate that he does things is going much faster than what the mystic. See, to me, the psychedelic movement from the very beginning was meant by its architects to be an anti-war movement. You know, Leary and...
Because it liberated consciousness to see the bigger picture than just dualities of hierarchy and...
For a lot of reasons. Right. For a lot of reasons, it's an anti-war movement. You know this, that when... As soon as the drugs...
It's a unity movement, isn't it, really?
What?
A unity movement.
That's a very
that
important part.
You can't have war with yourself.
Well,
or you're at disease.
That's
and
a
then
very important
sick.
Part of it. You know, the atom, this has been talked about a lot by many of the great elders and scholars in this field, from Aldous Huxley to Albert Hofmann and Frank Baran, and Sasha Shulgin talks about this. The synchronicities between discoveries in psychedelic knowledge and the atom bomb and totalitarianism. You know, LSD was accidentally discovered just a few months after the atom was split.
You think it's like a psychedelic version of the second law of thermodynamics, that there's an equal and opposite reaction?
This is an idea. This is what we see, that on the one hand, science reaches out and finds a way to completely pull the plug out of nature with this atomic fission, and at the same time, nature gives birth to a substance, LSD, into a culture that can create this unitive experience, something that will cause a correlative increase in wisdom and compassion and unitive consciousness to counter.
To tune them back into the going frequency.
This is what people were freaked out. People like Frank Baran, who was my teacher, who was Leary's inspiration, and turned Leary.
Oh, yeah, it's the mushrooms.
And you know, when they found this, they thought, this is the antidote to the bomb.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that can cause this radical expansion of consciousness and help make us wiser. And this is a metaphor that has been come up many, many times.
Do you think then the problem is, even going back to the 60s generation of researchers, is we're saying is that it's something bigger than just medicine. It's really, in olden days in indigenous cultures, it would be the priests, or it would be the holy or mystic men who might have medicinal functions to their job description, like the curanderos, shamans, but they had multiple job descriptions over different phases of reality. It was, you know, the traveler between worlds as much as it was here, take these herbs to fix your physical ailment. You know, where then the reductionist researchers we have now are just, they're not the doctors we had in tribal history.
No, those doctors, those soul doctors, are more like the artists, the mystic undergrounds, the provocateurs, that, you know, you don't necessarily see them or read about them or even know who they are, but, you know, who gave LSD to Steve Jobs?
Yeah,
you know, in Wozniak. I mean, some people know who that is, but that's not what's...
Yeah.
You know, that's...
Well, as you were saying before, it's the mycelium network. It's
exactly.
One spore turning on another spore. And
yeah, right. So when you read, like, these books, what the Dormouse said, and you can find out what an important effect psychedelic drugs had on the creative process. See, the FDA is not approving. FDA only permits drugs whether it's curative model.
Yes.
What about just, and they used to do these studies in the 50s, get a bunch of scientists
creativity studies.
The people that, some of them are here that did
Well, from what I've been reading about, as we were saying before, the psychedelic renaissance is being so touted by New York Times, LA Times, the establishment, you know, media.
Yeah. It's to give the illusion that that all is well in America, that we're even having a renaissance of these previously, you know, most.
But is there also a supply and demand where actually America needs new ideas? America needs to think outside of the boxes, you know, as Steve Jobs might say, but in terms of the economy, the ecology, all these different scenarios, which we're totally at a dead end with. So it's, as well as pigeonholing and controlling the psychedelic renaissance, so it's actually integrated into the mainstream without being a threat to the mainstream this time around, it might also bootstrap us up to a next level where we need to be to survive the coming changes that we're going through.
That's a mouthful, and I don't know. My current outlook, I'm not sure. I mean, America is a profoundly failed state with a population that. And if a population that is completely asleep doesn't even know to a considerable extent.
Mm.
You know, you may know that one of my current pet projects has to do with 9/11. and that this is like the crowning blow of the subversion of American democracy, a plan that's been in the works for many decades, you know, maybe even since the fall of the Third Reich, and that many Americans don't even know. We don't even have an anti-war movement now. We've been involved in the longest war in American, longer than World War II, almost as long as Vietnam now. There's not even an anti-war movement now in the United States.
If you take like a hive model template for looking at cultures in general, and you've got, you know, we were saying before, you need to have an underground. An underground's where true autonomy can come from to actually do the real science. Do you think this this curtailing of the hierarchies, of not having a valid underground, of, you know, shaping university funds and structures so dissidents don't get into universities, you don't have on-campus presence, and then also now integrating psychedelics in a safe, legal, medicinal way a doctor will prescribe, do you think that the establishment is actually, you know, cutting its own nose off despite its face?
We're going to have to wait and see. That's something I was thinking, that same thought. Okay, so if we permit, if the culture takes this risk and says Rick is successful and there are prescription psychedelics available.
And every little doctor's office in every street corner.
Or any doctor can administer. You know, are these individuals who have these psychedelic experiences going to become politically awakened as well?
Yeah, what is the set and setting of a very drab doctor's,
corner? But now to go back to 9/11, this is when, and I might still do this, I have a questionnaire partially drawn up, and maybe I'll print it out and distribute this tomorrow. And this is one of the reasons that Leary propagated these drugs so vigorously, is that he was aware of this massive mind control operation in effect on America, called Operation Mockingbird. I don't know how much of this you're familiar with, but it's a major, it's one of the largest programs of the newly formed CIA, was to infiltrate the media, infiltrate universities, and publishing, all forms of media.
60s?
Started in the 40s, right?
Project Artichoke and all that.
Artichoke was different. There were three. First there was Paperclip, where Nazis were brought over here, and then Operation Mockingbird gets formed to infiltrate America, to really cultivate in the American consciousness this fear-based worldview that there's an enemy out there, and the same old memes that have propagated to cause the whole current war. The communists are out to get us. We need a strong military. And they built up this whole.
And so this is what's culminating in the 9/11.
This is what Leary was aware of. Leary and Barron were aware of this, and they applied themselves as young psychologists to finding ways to stop this from happening. And so Frank went into the study of creativity and found the mushroom and came back to Tim and said, this is the thing that we've been looking for. This is what can enliven the individual to be less susceptible to the authoritarian menace that is sweeping across the nation. You know, this is a period in the 50s in American culture where we have these psychologists like Solomon Ash and Stanley Milgram that are showing how ripe America is to fascism, just like Germany, just like Europe was. The same, like, subservience to authority and the impulse to conform. And a lot of psychologists during the 50s looked like, what are we going to do about this? And then this idea about the religious experience and the discovery of the power within and the individual's responsibility to create their world makes you less susceptible. So what my questionnaire is about is to see if we can, if like the psychedelic community as on the average is more aware of the political crisis in America and with 9/11, like how many people... Is there a correlation between one psychedelic experience?
It's all about consciousness, isn't it? Are we aware that our consciousness is being deceived and the rug's being pulled over our eyes? Because it's the grand illusion which set the 21st century tone. The whole tower must fall, and then, you know, they've set the template.
See, I'm very disappointed in what I see as a depoliticized psychedelic movement.
So what do you think this is? I mean, I mentioned a few things before, but there's social engineering happening on campuses and, you know, with the culture in general. But who do you think are the people that take psychedelics in the 21st century?
Well, again, you're just asking questions that are the same questions that I have. You know, I teach a course to graduate students on psychedelics, and that's when I start the course often by saying we're kind of at cross purposes here, because you've all enrolled in this course to learn what I have to teach. But actually, I'm here in this course because I want to know who you are and what brings you to the subject, and why are you taking this subject?
You've been in academia for a while. Have you seen a different change in the type of students? Is there an archetype, or is there less questing and wanting to know the truth? They're not trying to rock the boat, because 9/11 created this lockdown of consciousness where it was unpatriotic, it was a time of war, you weren't meant to rock the boat. It was the ultimate, sin, not the original sin created, where you're not meant to ask what's happening. And that's the antithesis of the psychedelic experience, which is like you're meant to ask everything that's happening.
Well, that's the psychedelic movement that we kind of typically think about. That's the psychedelic movement that was propagated by the Leary, Barron, Huxley, the social activist model. You know, Leary didn't just propagate LSD and mushrooms. He propagated them with specific memes that were designed, cleverly designed to, as I said, thwart this authoritarian. He knew what Operation Mockingbird, that's the way Operation Mockingbird worked. So they were propagating memes.
Mm.
Not the memes like love your neighbor. Mm. The meme they were propagating is the Russians are going to, hide under the desk, kids. Yeah. You know, they had us doing these drills here in this country when I was 6 years old. They ring a bell, and we'd have to go hide under the desk because
to protect
Russians
you from nuclear
were going to kill
Armageddon.
Us.
Yeah.
You know, we all grew up in our thinking like, who the fuck are these Russians, and why are they trying to kill us? And we're afraid we could any minute be bombed. They wanted, these were deliberate, so as you say, social form of social engineering. So Leary was aware of that. Leary said, no, we're going to propagate different means.
You know, it's interesting to bring that thing I said before, in a hive structure, I found out recently it's the queen bee, obviously, or the top of the hierarchy. But there's also a very little known, feedback loop within the template. There's a thing called an assassin bee. An assassin bee is out to kill the queen bee. If the queen bee ever goes rogue, it goes off for the good of the entire hive. It almost seems like, what the role of what Leary and Barron were doing is that were assassin bees of consciousness. You know what I mean? That's to take down this dominator culture, lockdown, monolithic, patriarchal oppressors.
Yeah, start your own. Look at Leary's life and the memes that he propagated. Question authority, think for yourself.
Mm.
Turn on, tune in, drop out of this false, socially
and
constructed.
And you know what? That was the one that killed people most of all. I mean, not killed, but I mean, really came to the ire of the authorities. And turn on and tune in is okay, but to drop out of the program of the rat race of the system.
Which is exactly what they're trying to. They're trying to get him into the box, and Leary's letting him out of the box.
Mm.
And he has. See, the other thing is, of course, he has this Harvard gravitas.
Mm.
And he is, he's appears to be coming from the pinnacle of Western education. Harvard.
Well, he done all the personality testings in the 50s and set the models in place. He was the wonder child, wasn't he, really?
Well, I mean, yes, he did a lot of very important research, but not exactly. He even his pre-psychedelic personality research was directed to thwart the authoritarian menace.
Is that because he had the Irish maverick in him?
Yes. I don't know if you've ever read my book, but I talk about all this stuff about him. But, he looked at authoritarianism in the therapeutic relationship.
Mm.
And at the time, the way personality testing was, I'm the doctor, I'm sitting here with my jacket and tie, and I'm the authority, and you're the patient. So the set and setting is, I'm the doctor, and you're sick.
Mm.
And you will tell me what's wrong. You will answer these questions.
I will heal you.
It was all very mechanistic and mechanical. And Leary saw this and said, God, this is just absurd. This top-down thing. And he showed that model of therapy didn't work.
So the question is then, why are we pursuing that type of model of therapy now in the 21st century under the MAPS agenda, which is embedded within the FDA agenda, which is embedded within the powers that be agenda?
Well, what do you mean we? I'm certainly not, but...
Okay, the bulk of the herd of the scientific researchers.
I'm here to explore this very question and just find out just how much of this psychedelic, what's happened to this psychedelic movement, and again, a theme that I was thinking of writing and exploring in some context.
Mm. So, what were you saying earlier that perhaps it's the duty or it's the, you know, the highest good of a psychedelic researcher to work for the truth and not for the dogma of the herd, even if
unless
that's the psychedelic herd.
Unless there is this, you know, a secret plan too, like to infiltrate a kind of Trojan horse,
like Harvard or something like that.
Maybe that is
the Assassin Bee's trajectory.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Could you explain a bit more about the mystery school sort of structure?
Well, the way I talk about this, I mean, I would, my own career or whatever is an interest in this, that I first, you know, I was a young undergraduate and I got turned on and I thought, wow, I'm going to make a career out of this in graduate school, and I worked in policy and I did all that stuff and ran into these problems that we're talking about. And now I feel, in my first book, I end with this Sufi story.
What's your first book?
First book is called Entheogens and the Future of Religion.
Yeah.
And and the mystery school model is like taken from the Lucinian mysteries, the largest, most enduring psychedelic drug cult in Western history.
2,000 years in ancient Greece?
Yes. Uh-huh. And there, although it was not talked about, we weren't allowed to talk about it.
Well, they probably were onto a good thing, because the essential psychedelic experience cannot be talked about.
Yes,
no?
Right.
The integrity of the data transmission is at odds with the transmission
right.
itself.
Yes, there are a lot of reasons. This is a whole subject in itself, a whole conversation about reasons for secrecy in history. Sometimes secrecy actually furthers the authoritarian menace, like, well, we can't talk about that, you only have... It preserves a hierarchical structure. But other times, secrecy can be seen in this light, like, well, first of all, it's ineffable.
Mm.
It creates a whole different... I mean, the very word sacred, people talk about these are sacred substances. Sacred means, etymologically, means set apart. Different. Taken out of the normal language and profane talk of the world, and it is it's something sacred.
Apart.
Secret.
In the profane.
Yeah. And then a special container set. Nobody can see why I espouse this model now for conversational purposes is that, you know, if something is illegal,